Welcome to The People vs. Ryan Murphy. I'm Marin.
And I'm Natalie.
Today, we're talking about episode 8, the penultimate episode of Versace, called Creator / Destroyer. So let's get started.
Well, before we get started. We need to make a big correction.
Guys, we're so sorry.
We messed up.
We done messed up. We admit it.
Yeah.
We admitted it right away, too. And we fixed it. That doesn't make it better. But, so we errantly stated that Darren Criss wasn't Asian. In fact, he is also half Filipino, like Andrew Cunanan. So, first of all, thank you guys to those of you that brought this to our attention, primarily on Twitter, but we genuinely do appreciate it. I know some people say, like, thank you. We really do. We are fans first. We like to be right, but, you know, we're not reporters, but, like, this was probably an easy thing that we could have just looked up. So we're so sorry. But you found something interesting today about this.
So news today, interesting interview that Darren gave to Vulture, kind of on this topic and just on the show in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually stirring some controversy.
Yes.
About some of the things that he's mentioned in the article.
Yes.
We're not going to really get into that, but check it out if you want to.
Yes.
Vulture interview, I think Page Six also covered it in some other articles because it's... You know, people are kind of upset.
Yeah. Should we transition on that on that note?
Some fun news. So Jamie Brewer of American Horror Story, she was in Murder House, Coven, Freak Show, Cult. I think that's all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, she's going to be the first woman with Down syndrome to star in an off-Broadway production.
That's amazing.
It's called Amy and the Orphans.
Oh. Sounds upbeat.
Yeah, that's just awesome. I'm excited for her.
No, that's great. She in Cult, when you said Cult, I was like, was she? And then I realized that she was in sort of the separate lady cult that they would flash back to.
Which we didn't get enough of.
No, we didn't get enough of. We got some great green cloaks. And I was like, she wasn't in Roanoke. And those are the only American Horror Stories that I've seen. Okay. Should we just get right into it here?
Yeah.
All right. We flash back to both Versace and Andrew's childhoods. Versace is ridiculed for wanting to be a fashion designer, but his mother supports him. Andrew was given everything from his parents at the expense of his brother and sisters. We learn his father is a self-made man and essentially molded Andrew into the man he will become.
Andrew meets Lizzie at a party. They're instantly best friends, and Andrew tells her when he grows up, he wants to seek out his heroes, including Versace.
Meanwhile, Andrew's dad's success is evaporating after swindling a 92-year-old woman. The FBI begins investigating him, and he flees the country, but not before maxing out the credit cards, selling the house, and draining the bank accounts. Andrew's family is left with nothing.
Andrew goes to Manila in search of his father. He finds him in his childhood village. Andrew asks him if there's any money, and his father tells him it's out of reach. Andrew finally sees his father for who he is, a liar and a thief. His father tells Andrew he's ashamed of him, and Andrew goes back to America.
Upon returning home, Andrew finds his house raided by the FBI. He's now forced to get a job, and the rest of the story is set in motion.
Okay, first question I have.
Okay.
How do you feel about this episode being the penultimate episode?
I didn't like it.
It felt weird, right?
And I said to you this morning, I get it, right? Like, even if we got 30 minutes of this story in mm-hmm. this episode and then things kind of started to, like, quickly move along.
Yeah.
It was very interesting to know, and we'd kind of talked about this in our Tears Apart in a couple episodes, like... Andrew was considered special by his parents. He was, like, doted on by his father. You know, a lot of the traits that we've seen in Andrew were either there or created from his father. His father was a liar. Like, all that stuff, good to know, right?
Yeah.
Didn't need an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I commented in TV Time last week, and I feel kind of bad for saying this, but I was like, can we get to the murder already? Like, I felt badly for saying that about Versace, but it's like, I understand that Andrew was either made or was a sociopath, and now let's move it along. Right?
Right. I don't know. I just didn't see, I think they drug it out a bit. Like, yeah. Normally penultimate episodes, there's either, like, a cliffhanger or something is building towards something.
Right.
And this one just didn't for me.
Did you feel like they were trying to make us somewhat sympathetic towards Andrew?
I think they've been trying to do that the past few weeks.
You do? What yeah. makes you say that?
Just all of the backstory and, like, those little moments, like, when he realizes he's hurt his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Just those little cues.
Right.
You're like, oh, he's still a person.
I also think we were led to believe that his father molested him, correct?
I think so.
Yeah. So there were a couple things where it was like, you know, do you now feel badly for Andrew Cunanan? I mean, he was a child in a lot of ways, but also, like, he killed 5 people, so I can't feel that badly for him. A lot of other people have terrible traumas in their lives, and they don't commit murder.
It's true.
So, just as a suggestion.
Yeah.
All right.
So, we're kind of meh on it.
I'm meh. I voted meh.
But I think the people are loving it. Still.
Really?
Yeah, they're on board.
I mean, good for you guys. What are they saying?
Okay. Nabi, this season is amazing. When it first started, I was doubting it, especially since it had to live up to the first season. But I'm absolutely loving the new season, especially with the format of telling the story backwards. Epic indeed. I just wish there were a solid documentary I can watch for fact-checking.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
I would watch it.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Let's see. Peter, can't believe the finale is airing next week already. I feel like there should be at least 12 episodes, 10 at the very least. Surely there should be more to the story regarding Cunanan and Versace.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree that there should be more of the story as it relates to Cunanan and Versace, but I don't agree necessarily that we need 10 to 12 episodes.
Yeah. I don't know. If it picked up more,
yeah,
I could do 10 or 12 episodes,
mm-hmm.
but not when we're really stretching
yes.
some of the backstory that's some partially heavily fictionalized.
Yes.
I don't know if we need it.
Right. Okay. What else?
Okay. Let's get into it. The dad stuff,
mm.
you know.
Daddy issues.
Yeah. Anon, can we really choose how we turn out? This is so sad. Beverly, originally thought Andrew got his self-absorption from his mother. Now we know it was his father who warped him. His dad was one sick MF. Motherfucker.
Thank you. Thank you for that explanation.
In case you didn't know what that meant.
Do you have other comments?
There's a couple more.
Okay.
Yeah. This one is a Chinese symbol, which an emoji, and I think it's the open for business one.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Andrew was lying to everyone because he was ashamed of what happened to his family and because of his father. We all thought it's because he felt ashamed because he was poor, but it had deeper meaning. His father fucked up his mind. That stuff he said when he was applying to the school, he was like 12 and he was already talking about having children. I feel kind of bad for him, even if he was a serial killer. One more. M Star. All makes sense now. Andrew had a lifestyle and it was taken from him, and he dates older men because he was getting that lifestyle from his father. And he does it to them. He does to them what he wanted to do to his father, kill them.
Ooh.
Broke it down.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you agree? Do you disagree?
I agree
with that last
with
comment
most
particular?
Of it, yeah.
Yeah. And also then I think this is a little bit dicey, but then if he was molested, like there's some that does a lot of psychological and emotional damage. The relationship with his father was fascinating to me. And then at the very end, when he's like grabbing the knife
yes.
and Andrew's bleeding, like that to me was very confusing. Like it was like, are you trying to take out that anger on your father, but you still really love him because he is your dad? And like, it was very obvious though. It's like, oh, he's this liar because he was lied to. Like
mm-hmm.
he really believed all of those things his whole life. And it's got to be crazy. And, you know, he's probably seemingly 16 to 18 in those final scenes. And it's like, all of a sudden, everything you thought was true is no longer true. That's going to mess you
yeah.
up.
And it's just what you were taught. That's how you were taught to live.
Right. But again, a lot of people have things that they were taught and they don't turn into murderers.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that justifies his behavior. Just me personally. What else?
Okay. We have another comment. Hang on. It's from David. I'm pretty impressed how John portrayed Andrew's dad. Also, seeing my country. Philippines on this episode is not something to be proud of. LOL, this was the life of a serial killer. I was just a wee lad when all the crimes happened, so I am not yet fully aware of what's happening around me back then. I still felt excited when the actors spoke Tagalog. Tagalog, thank you.
Tricky, very
on
tricky.
An American TV show.
Very tricky. Yeah, I would assume anytime you, like, see... I feel like I saw an internet question about this the other day of, like, has, you know, any show ever, like, depicted your hometown or where you're from or whatever? Mm-hmm. And do they do a good job? Do they do a bad job? You know, I don't think Manila is frequently, like, on American television, so that does have to be exciting. Looked very hot. I felt like my skin would look great if I lived there.
Looks humid.
Very humid. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, sort of like an underrepresented people. It had to be, you know, pretty exciting. Tagalog, very hard. A lot of G's. Hard language to pronounce.
Mila, why didn't Gianni and Francesca or even the teacher speak Italian? That was one... It bothered me so much.
They were conjugating Italian verbs, and she was telling them to do it in English.
Yeah.
Why?
And it was, again, just one scene. We can read subtitles. We can handle it.
Right. And then the little boy had sort of an Italian accent.
Yeah.
Like, why not just let them speak in Italian? But then I guess then do you have to do all of the Italian scenes in Italian? And maybe they were like, ugh, there's just this one. I don't know.
It feels off every time.
It feels very off. And then particularly, I guess, because, you know, the majority of those actors are Spanish or Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And then so it's like extra off. And I was like, why? But I did like knowing that Versace's mom was very supportive of him.
Yeah.
Did you think it was interesting that they both were called pansies?
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't even notice that both of them were called that.
Yeah, so when Versace is drawing in class, the one little boy, like, calls him a pansy. And then the Andrew is called a pansy somewhere later. I mean, he's called much worse things.
I just remember thinking, what's pansy in Italian? I would have preferred to hear
You want
to
know? Yeah, you were distracted. I mean, there are, I think they're trying to draw similarities between them. There's, like, some level of persecution.
Are they pulling a little too hard get those similarities?
You raise a good question.
I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know.
Right. Uh-huh. You're like, this isn't an open-ended question.
Like,
I don't know.
Help me. One more. Noisa... Or Sia, Andrew in the party has the Britney's Oops, I Did It Again vibes. I was really into this outfit.
I knew that you would be. I watched it before you did, and I didn't want to text you about it, but I was just like, Natalie's going to love this. She's going to love this.
Oh, I was loving, again, the soundtrack in this episode.
Can we talk about Lizzie? So in the Laguna Beach party, Lizzie's there. Doesn't she say that they've been friends since high school?
Well, we even talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
In reality, they were friends since junior high.
Right.
It was weird.
But so she, at this point, seems like an adult.
And she's, like, confesses that she basically is an adult.
Yes. So I thought that was strange because this was, like, two episodes ago. She said that they were friends since high school or whatever.
They could have just had her enter the room and they danced, and I wouldn't have questioned it at all because we already know that they are friends.
That's a really good point. I agree with you. And you could tell, though, that, like, and she said this, her life was boring and Andrew was exciting. And so the questions that we've asked previously, it's like, why was no one calling Andrew out on his bullshit? Mm-hmm. I think it's because he was providing this sort of excitement to people who had otherwise excitementless lives. Like, David's life seemed a little like he came from a small town, whatever. Lizzie said that she's, like, a boring adult and married to a boring man. And Andrew, literally in a red leather onesie, provides a lot of excitement and distraction.
Yeah.
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 Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a really weird choice.
Yeah. Or it was like, did you guys not fact check your own stuff? Like, what did you write a couple episodes ago? Speaking of fact-checking, how can we tear this episode apart?
Well, number one, Matt Bomer directed this episode.
What? Yeah. I didn't even notice that.
His directorial debut.
Huh. And he's in the Ryan Murphy universe already.
Yeah.
He's been in American Horror Story.
Yeah, American Horror Story.
Well, good for him. I thought he did a great job. It was beautiful, this episode.
Mm-hmm.
you know, maybe a little slow for my liking, but I don't think that's Matt Bomer's fault. what else? Can we talk about his dad?
Sure. So Modesto Pete Cunanan is a retired vet turned stockbroker.
So all that was true.
Yes, all that was true. Kind of mixed articles about embezzlement and the money.
Oh, like how much?
So one of them said he embezzled $200,000, but there was apparently, according to another article, some court documents filed by Marianne that it was $106,000. And a Time article from 2001 states that the San Diego police have no record of those charges against him.
Hmm. Interesting. But either way,
he stole money. He definitely stole money.
Okay. It's just like how much.
Yes, exactly. So also, they really did have four kids.
Ugh.
We haven't mentioned them at all.
No, we
in
saw
the series.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Marianne and Modesto met in 1961 in Long Beach, California.
Okay.
They married later that year, had four kids, Christopher, Elena, Regina, and Andrew.
Baby Andrew.
Andrew being the spoiled baby.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up ditching the family in real life. So he sold their two homes. They had two homes, as well as their cars, gathered what money he could, and took off. So according to our favorite book...
Maureen.
Maureen North.
Mm-hmm.
She said that they were left with $700. That's it.
Wow.
That's crazy.
By the way, though, just even legally, everything must have been in his name, which is super weird if you're a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the ability for him to sell all of that stuff without her approval, like, stuff was already messed up from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like, that's not normal. Very strange. Okay, what else? Anything? So
yeah.
He went to Manila.
Andrew really did go. He stayed there for a total of 5 days.
Mm,
it was
trip.
A very huge reality check for him.
Yeah.
He was not into it
no.
and left.
Uh-huh.
This was the last time they saw each other.
Yikes.
Ugh. Yeah. So he's not the best person, I would
no.
say. And there, he did want to make a documentary about Andrew's life.
Interesting.
Like, he came back to America later and was like, this is what I want to do.
So he's, like, trying to capitalize on the crimes.
Basically.
Gotcha. Cool dude.
He
cool.
was, like, working with a filmmaker. It was, like, a whole deal. He wanted $500,000 for the rights, and he wanted to call it A Name to Be Remembered By.
No.
Yeah. It's not great. And he's been interviewed. I was reading a lot of articles from 1997. And it was, like, saying something about how Andrew was gay by association.
What?
And that when he was abandoned, Andrew went to the only group that would accept him, and that's why he was gay.
Mm.
I
don't think it works that way.
No, Andrew's parents are not great.
No.
No.
You remember how I said I wanted a documentary about Andrew Cunanan? I do, but not one made by Pete Cunanan.
No one wants that.
No, I don't want that.
Also, there's no proof that he molested Andrew.
Okay. So is that a choice? I wonder if that's in the book, like if Maureen intimates that, because otherwise that feels like a choice for
right.
them to make. But maybe other people didn't pick up on that. Maybe they didn't
I
see it that way.
I feel most of the people did pick
you
up
did?
On it, though.
Okay.
It's very
it was
creepy.
Creepy. Yeah.
I mean, they definitely took liberties there. We'll just say that.
Yeah, which they have throughout the series. Again, it's fictionalized, but
yeah.
nonetheless.
Like we said last week, Andrew really did have the master bedroom.
Ridiculous.
But in what we read, it was that he asked for it or requested it.
Yes.
In the show, it's basically given to him.
Yes. And, like, his dad doesn't even really acknowledge their other children. They were all sleeping
right.
in one room.
Yeah.
The two girls were
could
sleeping in one
imagine?
Bed.
Imagine.
No. Also, that master bedroom could have fit their whole family.
Right.
It was huge. It had a fireplace in it. He also had, like, a king bed. What child has a king
yeah,
bed?
Yeah, he supposedly had his own bathroom, too.
Oh, man.
And he really did get a Nissan 300 years before he could even drive.
No, that's such a weird dick move. Okay, what about that yearbook?
So, the shirtless photo of Andrew, you can find it.
Oh, my God.
But
have you seen it?
Yeah, it's not a yearbook portrait.
Okay.
Like, it's not your sit-down photo with a backdrop.
Right.
It's just a photo that was used in the yearbook. His shirt is open, and it says, JK, nice bod.
Okay.
And I feel like, what does JK mean? Because were they using just
JK?
Kidding in the 90s?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Also, did that scene remind you of the opening of Freaks and Geeks?
Yes,
totally.
It did.
I was like, what? This is exactly what's happening.
I love school photos. I've never looked good in one, but I love everything about it.
I worked for the largest school photo company in the country. It was a dream. I'll tell you about
How
it
fun.
Later.
He really was voted most likely to be remembered. However, there's kind of a back and forth on the correct wording of most likely to be remembered. Some people say it was slightly different, but it meant the same thing.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, most likely to not be forgotten. Like, that. It's like that much.
Gotcha.
That close.
Uh-huh.
So his yearbook quote, similar but different.
Okay.
In the show, it translated to "after me, destruction," and it his actual quote translated to "after me, the flood."
Interesting.
And it was supposed to invoke Louis XV.
Oh, all right. As most high schoolers do in their yearbook quote.
Andrew was special, Marin. We know this.
You thanked the Golden Girls when you graduated from high school. Andrew's invoking Louis XV.
Yeah. We're the same.
We're the same.
We are the same. Again, according to Orth's book, Cunanan told all of his friends in high school that he was dating an older man.
Oh.
Though no one at the school ever saw them together. Hmm. Was it because he didn't want to go to a teen party?
Right.
Maybe.
Or was he his, like, Canadian girlfriend? Like, it doesn't actually exist.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
Supposedly, he was the one that gave Andrew that red leather jumpsuit.
What a gift. Someone wants to give me a red leather jumpsuit.
I know.
Thank you.
So sweaty, though.
So sweaty. So
hot. Dancing in that. Ooh.
I know. Very, very warm. Okay. Anything on, like, Versace?
Hardly anything.
Uh-oh.
Versace did say that the relationship with his mother was the most important he's ever had.
Oh.
And he learned how to cut fabric from her and eventually worked for her full time in, like, 1966. And then he didn't actually move to Milan and start his own fashion brand until the late 70s.
Oh.
So he worked with her
for a long time. So he was essentially, I don't know if there's a male version of this, but he was like a seamstress then. I guess I don't think seamstress and tailor are synonymous, like, gender-wise. I think those are different things. So I don't know if there's a male version. A seamster? Sure. I like that. Let's go with that. Well, that's interesting. So it you definitely get the sense that the women in Versace's life played the most important role.
Right.
Between his mother and Donatella. Okay. Who did you say reigned supreme?
I think we all know this one.
Andrew. I mean, his dad, that was a really good performance. He was a total creep and definitely, like, didn't win the episode. But I don't think I could even vote for him. I scrolled over to see if I could vote, and I couldn't find him.
I mean, this was all about Andrew, and he learned something. It might not have taken him into the right direction for his life, but this was, like, a life-changing moment.
Completely. And he really did have that fork-in-the-road moment when he was telling the man who owned the drugstore about his father. Like, he had the opportunity to basically come clean or, like, tell the truth, and that, like, his dad abandoned them and that he's not going to see them anymore. And, or, like, he doesn't know what he's doing in the Philippines. But instead, he, like, concocts this story that becomes his truth. And it's, like, what happens in that situation if he doesn't tell the pineapple plantation's version of the story? And he just owns up to the truth of what is going on with his family. Like, that's the situation where I think a lot of people find themselves in. And when they don't commit murder, they just own their truth. Andrew Cunanan, not good at that, apparently.
No.
No. So next week, finale.
What is going to go down?
I have no idea. I literally have no idea. And I watched the scenes from next week, and I still have no idea.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, we definitely are in Miami. Like, the murder has happened. Andrew, the police are chasing him, all of that stuff. But other than that, I have no idea what's going to happen.
No, I'm open.
I'm open. I'm kind of ready for it to end. And again, I didn't dislike it, or I don't dislike it. I just feel like the pacing of this has been a little all over the place, and I'm like ready.
I think most Ryan Murphy shows are kind of like that.
Yeah.
At least a lot of American Horror Stories. There's always one episode where you think, I didn't really need this. Mm-hmm. This is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still like it. I agree.
Yeah, is it going to be 1 hour, 2 hours? Do you think it's going to be, like, a full thing?
Here's the thing. I know we talk about how this show could be cut into 7 episodes, but I feel like after this episode, I need a 2-hour finale.
I agree.
You have explaining to do.
Yes.
You have to wrap this up. You have to tie in Versace.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do.
You know what I don't think they've done a great job of is letting us really understand why Andrew's obsessed with Versace. Mm-hmm. Like, we see all these kind of surface level things where he's like looking at Vogue and he has his little like Versace shrine.
And a lot of name dropping.
Yeah, but I don't know that I really understand like why. It could literally be one line. They can just like have one line of dialogue, but it's like I almost need that to really then understand like how we get to the murder. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's not just me.
I'm still looking forward to it, though.
Oh, yeah. I am looking forward to it, but I'm ready. That's how I feel. I'm standing by that.
Okay, I don't think anyone's going to fight you there.
I mean, maybe. All right, guys. Get in on this convo. Download TV Time. Find us. Tell us what you think.
Yeah. Especially next week's the finale.
Yeah.
We want to read a lot of comments.
We want to know, guys.
Your feelings.
Or as always, like our friends who helped us with our correction last week, you can find us on Twitter @people_PPL versus Ryan Murphy.
So until next week.
Bye.